I would think that God would want the best. After all, God is God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is absolutely perfect. Would God not choose the pick of the litter? Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, has a net worth of $138.2 million. Successful. Holder of 14 NFL records, a champion above all football players, a superstar. Donald Trump, businessman and investor turned 45th president of the United States, powerful. But God's ways are not our ways. God does not think as men think. Christians identify with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Those God calls are not the strongest, the brightest, the richest. Paul goes on to say, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. God calls the weak. He deems the weak worthy to serve him. The weak serve the mighty. Well, the Christmas story captures this reality. It captures it well. God's servants proclaiming his salvation. Lowly shepherds worshiping his Christ. Tonight we're going to see two scenes where the weak serve the mighty. They come from Luke 2, the passage Jay has read. I want us to see first the angels serve Jesus Christ. God's servants appear to shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. Now, what we will see in a moment is tied directly to what we saw. That is, what we discussed yesterday morning in church precludes all of this. We walked through the first seven verses of Luke 2 yesterday. There we saw the mighty serving the weak. Another challenge to human thinking. God is, in his infinite grace, sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Born of the flesh. Jesus is in the manger. His parents are in the stable. And now these shepherds are in a field. Seemingly an uneventful night for them. Keeping watch over their flock by night, says the text. But then a single angel appears to them. A blinding light erupts around them. These angels are messengers for God. God dispatches them to do his bidding. Hebrews 1:14 calls them ministering spirits sent out to render service. Angels are servants. They faithfully execute God's commands. And these shepherds, well, they're the raw material that God uses to make servants. He's going to do this by the end of our time tonight. For now, we need to see them simply as a gang of squirrely fellows. Shepherds in their day were regarded as shady characters. Many saw them as nothing more than a common thief. If there was anyone lower on the scale in society, it would have been lepers, the worst of the diseased in the ancient Near East. These shepherds are a bunch of no-namers. God has chosen the weak things of the world. It's as though a survey was conducted, something perhaps door to door, phone call to phone call. People gave their opinion as to what they would like to see, and then God goes and does the opposite. Not far from them, from these shepherds, God the Son, Jesus the King, lies in an animal trough. Now, typically, the birth of a king would be announced with much royal pomp and fanfare. You would invite Roman officials, national leaders, even religious elite. But this broadcast is to shepherds, the lowly, the weak. God chose them to serve his son. Friend, if you are weak tonight, let me introduce you to someone named the Lord. If you're saying, I'm not worthy to be a Christian, I have nothing to offer God, my sin is too great, then you're ready for the kingdom of God. God reveals himself to that type of person. That is a heart ripe for salvation. The revelation to the shepherds left them all a bit frightened. Well, I guess to be more specific, the Bible says they were terribly frightened, as one could well imagine. Throughout the Bible, that is a typical response to an angel, these massive figures from another realm. The two groups really couldn't be more different. The angels on one hand, the shepherds on the other. These shepherds resided in darkness, the angels in light. The shepherds were dirty and dingy. The angels were white and immaculate. The shepherds put off the odor of manure. The angels exuded the aroma of holiness. The shepherds dwelt in the pits of sin, and the angels basked in the presence of God. It was quite a scene in the field that night. An angel announces the birth of Christ. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel calms their fear with words of comfort. In the city of David, that's Bethlehem, the birthplace of Old Testament King David, there is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is his title. His name is Jesus. But don't miss the value or the meaning of this title. Jesus is the Savior, the one who rescues. Without exception, every person is under the power and the penalty of sin. Jesus delivers or rescues from that bondage, from that penalty. Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one, or he is the Messiah. He alone is set apart by God to redeem. He's the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, the perfect king. Jesus is the Lord. I'm going to give this to you right out of the lexicon. It's that good. Lord, quote, conveys the sense of a supreme one. One who is sovereign and possesses absolute authority, absolute ownership, and uncontested power. Jesus rules and Jesus reigns. You must receive this Jesus to be made right with God. Savior, Christ, Lord, he cannot be divided. We embrace all of who he is, or we receive none of his benefits. He must be your Savior. You must carry the conviction that you have sin and that Christ forgives. Jesus must be your Christ. Believe that God loves you and has made a way for you to be right with him. And Jesus must be your Lord. He is in charge. You fully submit to him as ruler over your time, over your priorities, indeed over your life. And this is who Jesus is. To be saved, Jesus must be accepted as he is. We cannot reinvent him, and we cannot divide him. This is truth for us this Christmas. This is truth for the shepherds that first Christmas. There is more in this scene. An entire chorus of angelic servants then participate. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's a sweet promise for the Christian. Many of you experience this. It's that abiding, internal, settled peace. Things are forever right between you and God because of Christ. When Christ redeems a life, this is one of those first changes experienced. There's a new peace. No longer is there enmity. Rather, there is a friendship. There's a relationship. That right relationship now exists between creator and creature when one comes to faith in the Lord. But will our shepherds experience this? Will they gain that peace? Well, so far we've seen our angels faithfully proclaim Christ. They announce his birth to this group of shepherds, these lowly men in the field. They announce the birth of the Messiah. And these angels are simply created beings. They're made to serve the Lord. They're powerful, but they pale in comparison to God. It's the weak serving the mighty. Well, I want us to see this one more time in our Christmas account tonight. It comes in the last five verses of the scene. The scene shifts from that in the field with the angels to the shepherds traveling to the stable. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen just as they had been told. Here it's the weak shepherds serving an almighty God. But this is no given. In fact, it is much more natural not to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. These shepherds had options, did they not? They could ignore the message given by the angels. They could make excuses. Who's going to watch the sheep? If we all go into Bethlehem, this is our livelihood. Who's going to keep watch? It's a work day. We have no time for Christ. Perhaps they could delay. We'll get to Jesus one day. We've got a life to live right now. Well, let me ask you, what is your response to this news of Christ tonight? Perhaps you may say, church isn't for me. That typically means the people. Church isn't a place that it's a people, it's a group of people. And this is true. There may be things about a church you may not like. Let me encourage you, don't let dislikes keep you from heaven. The Lord can help you work through these things if you allow that. I've heard people say, well, I do enough good deeds. And honestly, there are a lot of people doing a lot of good deeds, especially this time of year at Christmas time. But there's a lot of things God commands that aren't being done as well. Good deeds don't take people to heaven, particularly when those weightier deeds are ignored. Or perhaps some say, I've heard all this before. Do you know what that response means? That means God is good to you. He's given you yet another opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. God is patient toward you, says the Bible. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Let me encourage you to repent tonight, to embrace weakness, to confess that you have no strength to gain God's favor on your own, to admit sin, to admit weakness, to come to Christ as your strength, as your Savior, as your Christ, as your Lord. Respond as these shepherds did. Just listen to the response. Let us go straight to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened. They came in a hurry and found their way. I mean, these guys are juiced up. They are all gas and no brake. Listen, friends, when God grabs a hold of your heart, you'll know it. It's obvious. There's a zeal. There's an intensity. There's a fervor. There's an urgency and a passion about it. You'll want to be with the Lord. You'll want to be among God's people. You see, the good news of Jesus Christ changes a person. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God. And here, at the bottom of society's barrel, God has called them to his Son. Well, in this Christmas story, we see the weak serve the mighty. God's angelic servants proclaim Christ. Humble, lowly shepherds worship the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, who are you serving? Is it the weakness of the flesh, or is it Almighty God? In the Old Testament book of Joshua, Israel's leader reviews all of these ways God has been kind to this people. He gave them protection. He provided for them. Indeed, he gave them life. And Joshua then says to them, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the same vein, I ask you tonight, if it is disagreeable to serve the Lord, then choose which God you will serve. But if you see your weakness, if you will make Jesus your strength, your Christ, your Savior, your Lord, then come serve him tonight. Turn this seasonal ritual into a saving relationship. Let me pray for us.